Take your Bibles this morning and let's go to Matthew chapter number 14. And if you're using the Bible under your seats, we have those there for you to use. And we even give you the page number on your handout. It's page number 1008. If you go to page 1008, that'll take you to what we're going to be reading in a minute together, Matthew 14. Also, the next book of the Bible is Mark. If you could grab Mark 6 also and put a bookmarker there. It tells the same story, just from Mark's perspective. So you can go there too. That'd be great. Mark 6, and grab that also and just kind of, you know, put something in there, a bookmarker or something. And once you get those, you have Matthew 14 and Mark 6. We're going to imagine something here. I want you to kind of use your imagination. And I want you to imagine that you were living in Jesus' day. All right? And you're on a hill, okay? And you're looking down, and all of a sudden you see Jesus, and he's heading toward your city or your town. You know it's Jesus, you know him. You know what he's capable of doing, and lo and behold, you weren't expecting it, but all of a sudden you see Jesus Christ heading toward your town. He's heading toward your city. Now, I want you to be real honest with yourself and say, what would be your response to that? How would you respond to that if you saw Jesus heading toward your city or your town? Maybe your response, if you're thinking about it, you may be thinking, well, man, I have a problem. And maybe Jesus could do a miracle and fix my problem. By the way, how many of us have problems? Yeah. We've all got things in our life that are not perfect that we would love to get fixed, you know? Maybe it's a broken faucet. Maybe it's a broken marriage, which is a lot more serious than a broken faucet, right? Maybe it's a child that's wayward. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it is a sickness. And so your first response may be, I have a sickness and I have this pain. Maybe Jesus can take it away. Maybe if you saw Jesus coming, your first response would be, maybe I can touch him. Maybe I can feel his glory surging through me. Maybe I can have a worship experience like I have never had before. Or, and I'm just throwing this out there, or were some of you thinking a minute ago when I said, what would be your first response? Were some of you thinking about others? And you were thinking, okay, wait a minute. My first reaction would be, wait, I know somebody who really needs Jesus. And I have to figure out a way to get Jesus to them or get them to Jesus. You know, I have to be a bridge to connect them, to get them together. If you look at the title of the message there, look at the title on the top of your handout. Using your life to make a what, church? A difference. And the good thing about it, and this is what I want to really encourage you with today, you do not have to be a Bible scholar. You do not have to be a pastor. You do not have to be a great spiritual teacher to do that. For your life to make a difference. In fact, there's two key verses that I'm going to put up on the screen here, and you may want to jot these down in your handout. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. I would challenge you to commit these to memory this week. But here's what the verses say. Let nothing in your life be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory means pride. But in lowliness of mind, that means humility. In humility, let each other esteem other better than themselves. Then it says, look not every man on his own things. In other words, self-centered, selfish, it's all about me. He says, no, don't look on your own things, but every man also on the things of what? Others. And then the very next verse, so what he's basically saying there is think about others in your life. You want your life to have impact? Think about others. But then the very next verse says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We sung earlier that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ was all about others. And the Bible says if we want to have the mind of Christ, then we will think about others. And this is the key to your life making a difference. The men that we're going to read about here in a minute in our text, they had the same mindset as Christ. In fact, you know the story I told you a minute ago, and I said, imagine Jesus is heading to your town, he's heading to your city, and you saw him coming. That exact thing happened. It actually happened to some men in Jesus' day. I want you to look at Matthew 14 and look at verse number 34. It says, and when they were gone over, Jesus and the disciples, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And look at verse 35. It says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, okay, they sent out into all that country round about, and they brought unto him all that were diseased. And they besought him, they begged Jesus that they might, that the diseased people, the sick people, might only touch the hem of his garment. In other words, just touch his shirt. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, let me point out something to you. None of these guys' names are mentioned. We don't know who these guys were. They were just men who lived in that area of Gennesaret, and they had a heart for the broken. They had a heart for the broken. They had a heart for the hurting people in their community. Yet these men made such a huge difference with their lives. I want you to flip over to Mark real quick. Go over to Mark chapter number 6 and look at verse number 54. Same story. Notice how Mark words it. Mark 6:54. And when they were come out of the ship, Jesus, the disciples, immediately they knew him. They knew him. Look at verse number 55. This is amazing. They ran through that whole region roundabout. And they began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into villages, cities, country, they laid the sick in the streets. They besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched Jesus were made whole. These were, you understand, guys, these were common, ordinary, everyday people. But these group of men saw an opportunity, they saw an open door, and they walked through that door, and they made a difference. Scores of people came to Jesus Christ, and what I want to encourage you with is that your life can make a difference too. In the midst of the mundane and the ordinary, and let's face it, many of our days are ordinary. Can I get an amen, huh? Yeah, unless you have a two-year-old, right? I say that because we got a two-year-old grandson. Unless you, let me tell you something, when we babysit Landon, our day's anything but ordinary, amen? But a lot of our days are mundane, they're ordinary, right? It's like you get up and you go to work and, you know, and I can't help but think this day started out that way for these guys in the Bible here that saw Jesus coming. They probably just started out ordinary, right? Don't you think these guys probably woke up that morning, the alarm clock went off, and they hit snooze a couple times, right? And then they finally got up, and they had their cereal, and they're probably on their way to work. And on their way to work, they're like, whoa, that's Jesus getting out of that boat. And all of a sudden now, this mundane, ordinary day has this opportunity, and something very special springs out of a very ordinary day. And my point is that's life. You're going to have weeks that are very mundane, very ordinary. You're going to have days that are that way. But out of the ordinary, something eternal can spring up here that's going to last forever. And you can die in peace knowing some eternal stuff happened with your life. Some eternal things happened because of your life. Your life made a difference. And last week, we began to talk about that. How can our life make a difference? Took these guys as an example, right? How did they do it? Well, we said, number one, the first thing is you have to have personal firsthand knowledge of Christ. The Bible says they knew him. They had knowledge of him before they ever even, when they saw him, they already knew him. So we talked about last week that you, before you're going to be able to make an eternal difference in other people's lives, you first have to have a personal firsthand knowledge of Christ. And if you do not know Christ yet, Man, that's why we're here as a church. We want to introduce you to Jesus. We want you to know Jesus Christ. We will help you with that decision. And you need to know Christ. Then the second thing we talked about last week is that the guys, they just chose to care. They're like, okay, do we go about our lives? There's Jesus. We see him. Okay, but we got jobs to go to. We got things to do. We got places to go. You know, and so do we just kind of go about our life, or do we choose to alter our agenda to maybe change up our schedule because we care? And they chose to care about these hurting people. And they made a difference. And as a church, we have to choose to care about people who are hurting. We have to choose to care about those who are down and out, those who are lonely, those who are without Jesus Christ. I've talked to two different, very sincere, good guys this past week. And man, one guy, he said, man, you know what? He said, I have been sober and I've been off alcohol for 9 months. Another guy said, I have been off it for 11 months, struggled with it my whole life. I say, amen. Isn't that great, church? Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Give him a hand. That's great. Yes. That's awesome. And you know what? That's why we're here. We want to be an encouragement to those who may feel lonely, those who may be hurting, those who have addictions, those who are down and out. We've all been there. We want to be there for those who don't know Jesus Christ. We don't know Jesus. You heard the video. It's like my wife never even really heard of Jesus Christ. She didn't even know who he was. And so that is why we are here. We have to choose to care. All right? That's the second thing. But now, this week, I want to turn this thing a little bit, and I want to show you two more great principles. I'm going to share some things with you that you can literally take home. If you're going to a restaurant, you can put this to work today when you go to the restaurant. You can put these things to work in your life when you talk to your neighbor today. But I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. Number three, write this in your handout. This is the third principle. We have to be willing. There's got to be a willingness to give of our time and our energy. I'm telling you, if our life's going to make a difference, if we're going to make an impact, we have to be willing to give our time and energy. Mark 6:55, can you go back there with me? We just read it. Go back to verse 55. That really caught my attention. It says, when they saw Jesus, verse 55 says, they ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick. I am not talking about prophets. I am not talking about apostles. I am not talking about famous people in the Bible. I am not talking about pastors. I'm talking about common, ordinary, unnamed men. They just saw Jesus, knew Jesus, and said, we choose to care, and we're going to put some time in on this. So they put aside their agenda, and they begin to run throughout that whole region. And they're rounding up people that are needy to bring them to Jesus Christ. You talk about missionaries, man, these guys are on mission. And you talk about ambassadors, the Bible says they ran through. Did you know that is the only, the Greek word for ran through, it's the only time that Greek word is ever used in the New Testament. It's of those guys. And it says that word ran through there, that phrase, it means to run around, to traverse. They are literally traversing, traveling all through this area, rounding up people to bring them to Jesus. Now, what would we have done if that would have been us? What would we do today if we see Jesus coming? What would be our attitude? Would we be willing to literally run around town trying to get people to Jesus? Or would we be like, hey, you know what? I'm really busy. But you know what? I'll post it on Facebook when I get to work. And that way everybody will know. You know, I'll text a few people, you know, and let them know. No, man, these guys are like, no, man, we want to be bridges. We want to be bridges whereby people can walk on us, man, to get to Jesus. They ran through the countryside there. They didn't just say they cared. They showed it. And then they go a step further. And what we just read was there in 55, it said they began to carry about in beds those that were sick. Man, that's amazing to me. Come here a minute, Clint. Come here and help me with something. I want you to look at this. This is the cross. We're going to put that there. That's our bridge. The Bible says, you grab that in, they literally went running through the countryside, all right? Keep in mind, man, these guys did not know Jesus was coming. But they put aside everything in their life, and the Bible says they put people on these beds, and they began to take these people and take them. That cross represents Jesus. And they began to bring people to Jesus Christ. They ran throughout the region. They didn't just say they cared. It's one thing to sit around and talk about how much we care. But you know what? It's something else to not just talk about it, but do something about it. The Bible says they personally brought unto him all that were diseased. And that word brought, you know, we just took that, Clint, and we brought that, right, to Jesus, to the cross. And that word there that's used there, brought, it means to bear toward, to lead. So they were literally taking people by the hand or by the stretcher, and they were literally bringing people, leading people to Jesus. Now, I look at that and I think, were these men busy? Probably. Did they have a life? Yeah. And they could have said, you know what? We're busy. Let somebody else do this. Man, we got things to do. We got places to go. You know what? Hey, we don't mind helping get the word out, but people are going to have to figure out how to get to Jesus themselves. I mean, they can't expect us to do that. We cannot take personal responsibility to bring these people to Jesus. They got family. They got friends. Let them figure it out. These guys are not just Minutemen. I mean, just going out throughout the area hollering, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I mean, they were doing that, but then they're personally putting some time and energy in on this, and they're carrying these people. They carved out some time to bring these people to Jesus. They invested in these people relationally and then invited them to come to Jesus. Took some time, took some energy. But you know what? If you want to do big things for God in your life, it's going to take a time investment. You want your life to have an impact? It's going to take a time investment. You don't do big things for God without some sacrifice. We don't make an impact without giving up something. But what was the result? Their lives made an eternal difference in countless other lives. They led people to Jesus. And last week, I gave you verbally a twofold strategy that you can employ in your own personal life. And I kind of just threw it out there verbally, but this week I actually put it in your handout. So if you can actually get your handout, I want to give you a twofold strategy, and it's two key words. The first one's invest. If you want your life to make a difference, the first key word is invest. This is not complicated. This is so simple, anybody in here can get it, and anybody in here can do it. What do I mean by invest? Look in your handout. It says that you've got to be willing to invest in some people relationally. Outside the walls of the church and outside your circle of faith. It's an investment. It's a time investment. It's an energy investment. You know what? A lot of times, we're willing to do anything for each other. And you know what? We love to hang out and drink coffee. And we love to be with our small group. And we love to be with church people. But you know what? If our lives are going to make an impact, we have to invest in people relationally outside the walls of the church, outside of your circle of faith where everybody thinks like you and everyone agrees with you. And nobody challenges you. We have to get out of that Christian cocoons that we're in. And we have to say, you know what? I'm going to invest in some people relationally that don't know Jesus, that are hurting, that have needs in their life. And then, number two, in your handout, it says, at the right time, invite. Invite. Invest and invite. You invest in people relationally, and then at the right time, you invite. Now hold on. Right away, some of you think invite to church. And that is great. And we need to do that. But you have to have Holy Spirit discernment to know if they're ready for that. Some people have never darkened the doors of a church a day in their life. And so it may be you have to invite them to lunch several times. You saw on that video that they were You know, that guy, that air traffic controller guy said that they started having Bible studies, you know, with, or actually before that, they just took him to lunch. They had him come to church with him, took him to lunch, and then were able to eventually talk to her, you know, about being saved. So it's an investment. I'm telling you, if you want your life to make a difference, yeah, I know it's funner to go eat lunch with a life group. I know that. But when you begin to invest in people outside of these four walls, outside of your circle of faith, you begin to really feel like, man, my life's got some meaning, some purpose. I'm doing something here with my life. And so it may be you invite them to coffee. It may be you invite them to your house for dessert. It may be you invite them to dinner. It may be you invite them to your small group barbecue. You know, man, our small groups, when you guys have a barbecue, man, you ought to be inviting neighbors to come to that. You know, it could be that you invite them to a church service, but maybe they're not ready for that. Maybe you invite them to an event like Walk Through Bethlehem. And then if you feel that, no, they're pretty open, they're pretty like very, then you invite them to a church service to sit with you. Go grab some lunch afterwards. And eventually, of course, the goal is to invite them to Jesus, right? You remember when somebody invited you to Jesus? You invite them to Jesus. That's invest and invite. And that's exactly what these guys did in this text. They invested and they invited. And you know what? You kind of get the idea when you read the text. These guys already knew where the hurting people were, which leads me to believe they were already investing in people relationally. They already cared. They didn't just start caring when they saw Jesus pull up in the boat. These guys already had caring hearts. They already knew Jesus. They already cared. They already knew where the hurting people were because they'd probably already been ministering and they'd already been building up relationships. So then when Jesus comes on the scene, they're like, okay, it's time to invite. And they invite these people to Jesus. And you read it. I mean, tons of people's lives were changed and they were made whole. Listen, it's tough. It's tough. You know, just caring about people, showing compassion on hurting people takes some effort. But things that matter almost always do. Take some time, take some energy. Those of you who are going to college right now, you know what I'm talking about. They don't just hand you a degree at college, do they? They don't just hand you that. I mean, if they do, tell me about it. I'd like to know where that college is, you know. They don't just hand you a degree. It takes some time and some energy to earn a degree. Hey, some of you guys out here have built up businesses. It takes some time and energy to build up a business. Some of you have raised up kids. Oh boy, does that take time and energy, amen? And money, right? Time and energy to raise up kids. Things in life that matter always do take time and energy. But I want you to look at the end of verse 56, all right? Go to Mark 6, 56. Look at the end of that verse, all right? Let that challenge you right there. Look at the very end of that verse. It says, and as many as touched him were made what? Whole. Can you imagine how thankful these people were? Now, I doubt if they put up statues to these guys in that country. But don't you know heaven is going to recognize their zeal and their effort. Now, let's fast forward to 2017. Here we sit. Do you think that there are people that need to be made whole today? Are y'all with me? Are you connecting with me this morning? Are you with me? Do you think there are people that need to be made whole today? Amen? There's something missing in their heart and their life. There's something missing in their inner spirit. They're not maybe sure what it is, but they're missing something. There's people that we know that their marriage is falling apart. They don't know why, really. They don't even know why. You know, they're having all kinds of problems with maybe an addiction in their life, and they can't figure it out on their own. They've got financial problems that's about to put them under. They're about to lose their house. They don't know where to turn. Their kids are driving them crazy. They don't know what to do about it. People are hurting, you know, and they're missing something, and they don't know what it is. But I can tell you this, and I mean this, and I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. I believe this with all my heart. If you're here today and you feel like you are missing something in your inner spirit, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, that the person that will fill that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so that all the bad things you have ever done and that you feel guilty about could be completely forgiven and you could be restored to a right relationship with God. And then he rose from the dead so that that divine life could be imparted to you to give your life true divine meaning and purpose. Jesus Christ is what you need. And there are so many people today that need that. They need to be made whole spiritually. They need Christ desperately. Think about this. Do you know people who need Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to think about this with me. Your life can make a difference because think about this, please. All right? Let's say that this stretcher represents a needy person that you know that needs Jesus. Here you are. You know Jesus, and you know them. That's not an accident. You know Jesus, and you know them. Now, who do you think God might use to bring them to Jesus? Are y'all with me out there? I said, you know Jesus, and you know them. Who might God use to bring them to Jesus? Y'all are with me now, amen? We gained an hour of sleep and we're feeling good, amen? You! I may never meet them. You say, me? Yes. You say, well, I wouldn't even know where to start. Yes, you know where to start unless you slept through the message. You know exactly where to start. Invest. Invest in that person relationally. And then at the right time, what'd we say? Invite. Invite. There's just no way around it, though. It's going to take some time and energy. You got to make an investment. I like to boil things down simple. I just like to boil things down real simple. And in your handout, I want you to get a statement there. It's very simple. Boil it down. Here it is. A caring heart plus time plus some energy. That's going to equal eternal impact. Are you with me? If you're with me, say with you. Yeah. All right. Good. Let's go to number four. Last thing. Stay with me 5 minutes. Here it is. Ready? If you want to make an impact, number four, pray and ask Christ to do a work. I want you to go back to Matthew now. Flip back to Matthew 14, all right? Can you flip back there with me? Look at verse 36 and notice what these men did. 14:36. It says that they besought. These men besought. That means they begged him, Jesus, that they, the needy people here, that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The word besought means that they were entreating and they were praying to Jesus. Look up here. Besought means they're begging Jesus, saying, Jesus, let them just touch the hem of your shirt. And as many as touched were made whole. They were literally standing in the gap and entreating, begging, praying. That's intercessory prayer, by the way. Intercessory prayer means that you are standing before the Lord on behalf of someone else and asking God to do a work in their life. Do you guys think that's important if we're going to reach people? Huh? We got to pray. They came before Jesus believing that he could change the lives of these hurting and these diseased people. You know what? And I'm going to share my heart with you for a minute. Sometimes if we aren't careful, everything in our lives becomes very self-centered. Even our prayer lives. Everything becomes about us. And we become very inward focused, which is the opposite of the mind of Christ. But if we're not careful, especially if we've known the Lord for a while, everything gets about us. Everything at church is about us. Everything in our personal lives is about us. Everything about my money, my house, my car, it's about me. And if we're not careful, even our prayer lives can get to where it's about us. And I don't know about you, but man, these guys challenge me. They challenge me to be outward focused. These guys challenge me to put Philippians 2:4 into practice. Where he said, don't look on just on your own things, look on the things of others. There's a verse that I gave you last week. I've got it in your handout. Look at it. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire, and he said, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now look back at that verse again. He said, brethren, my, and what's the next two words? My what? Heart's desire. You know what that is right there? That's called caring. My heart's desire. In other words, I care. And if I care about people, it should show up in my prayer life. Paul prayed, and then Paul worked like crazy to bring people to Jesus Christ. He invested, and he invited. Paul cared. Do we care? Hey, we all have one life to live. Unless you believe in reincarnation, and then we just need to talk. Amen? We just need to talk about that. But I think, you know, most of us would agree. We've all got one life to live. We want to use our lives to make a difference in other people's lives. I don't want to die and it's just kind of about me. When I die, I want to know my life made a difference. These were just common, ordinary men that God used to lead tons of people to Jesus. And he can use you too. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. It's simply caring. And then it's giving of yourself. And in your handouts, a quick review. Look at it with me. It's in your handout. Number one, make sure that you know Christ and his mighty power. By the way, if you don't know Jesus today, Pastor Rich, who teaches world religions at DSC. There's nothing you're going to say that's going to shock him or offend him. But if you don't know Jesus, you need to at least start talking about it. Just start some dialogue, all right? And Pastor Rich will be available right back here in the resource area. And if you want to talk a little bit about that, he'll be glad to do that. If you want to know Christ, he'll be glad to show you how you can know Christ today. You got to know Christ. Number two, write this down. Take a hurting person in Jesus in prayer. Take a hurting person to Jesus in prayer. That's the beginning point, but that's not the ending point. Number three, talk to that person and show them that you care. In other words, start a conversation, get some dialogue going. Invest some time in them, and then invite them at the right time. Invite them to dinner. Invite them for dessert. Invite them to a church event. Invite them, to go to a ball game. You know, invite them to play some tennis or play some golf. Invite. And then number four, find a need and meet it in that person's life. Man, if you got an opportunity to meet a need, do it. And then trust the Lord to use you to make a difference.